This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, ends up. Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again, back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots return home to take on the Houston Texans on Monday Night Football.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. We're taking you up to Patriots and Texans. 8:30 kickoff time here in Foxborough. Texans come in 11-1 on top of the AFC. Patriots looking to get into the mix for the top spot in the conference at 9-3. And we'll take you right up to that game here on Patriots.com. And guys, we'll kick things off by asking you, who has more at stake? Houston trying to get either self-belief or just separate themselves from the pack, and New England trying to get into that mix for the top spot. Who has more at stake in this one tonight?
I can't believe we're going to get right into this pregame show when you're just glossing over the spirited debate we had before the show started.
Oh, the Letterman jackets.
On the pros and cons of the Texans Letterman jackets.
I thought that's more like, you know, a B, maybe a C story, but sure. Yeah, we can go to that at some point.
Who has more at stake in this game? Mm-hmm. I think you could make, much like the Letterman jacket, I think you could make a passionate argument either side. I think for the Patriots, obviously, they're looking to get a bye, whereas Houston's probably going to have a bye of some sort. It's either going to be number one or number two. But I think Houston actually has more at stake in this game than the Patriots do. The Patriots have been here. They've been in many big games. This is Monday Night Football at Gillette Stadium against a good team in a situation the Patriots have been in many, many times. On the other side, for Matt Schaub specifically, this is the first time he's ever been in a game of this magnitude. He didn't get to play last year down the stretch, didn't get to play in the playoffs. And Houston, I think, is looking to sort of, even though they're 11-1, they're an underdog in this game. They were 4-point underdogs. Some of my boys who sort of, you know, keep track of these sorts mm-hmm. of things. You know, I've mentioned many times on the show that I did grow up in Everett, so I know a little something about, you know,
got some connections.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I'm told it's up around 6.5 at this point. So clearly the
that's
betting,
in Everett, or that's just the betting, everywhere.
The betting public.
So that is a new casino in Everett. Is that
doesn't
that is?
Believe in the Houston Texans. So I think the Houston Texans have a big statement to make tonight if they want to sort of emerge as a player in the AFC. If you want to be thought of as a favorite, and this is where you belong, then you need to come to Foxborough tonight and put a good performance on the field.
Andy?
Well, I think it was said best by the Four Horsemen. If you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo! Patriots are the man. They won the AFC Championship last year. As much as anyone could argue, oh, the injuries aside, maybe the Texans would have been in that role. They weren't, and the Texans have never been in that role. You know, they are. This is all new ground to them. You know, the letter jackets is a little bit new ground too. You know, kind of doing that bonding of us against the world on the road. The Giants did it with the black suits going to the Super Bowl in the desert. Well, you know, Texans have their thing. I think mentally, this is very much the Texans game. And I actually did a Houston radio station last night, and they were asking about that. You know, like Patriots fans, do they take the Texans for real? You know, do they think the Texans are a legitimate contender? And I said, it's funny.
No.
I think about a month ago, month and a half ago, they did. But the more the Patriots blew a couple people out, and the more the Texans struggled a little bit, and the Patriots got their swagger on, and now I don't think they do. Now I think, they're coming to our house. We haven't lost in December here in like a decade.
And yeah, the Patriots,
I don't think they take them seriously anymore.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. I think
the fans.
The Patriots themselves, I think, are taking this game a lot more seriously than the fans are. And I don't say that every week. I mean, I know the Patriots always say, well, so
Belichick takes like Tosh.0 seriously.
I know. Whoever we're playing is great. But to me, there's a difference between saying the Cleveland Browns have an explosive offense, can score from anywhere on the field, to what the Patriots acted like with Houston this week. I think they did not shy away from the fact that this is a big game. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they just talk about one game.
They're not talking like that. All the things are legit. I mean, the stars, you know, there's not a better defensive player than J.J. Watt. You know, Bill Belichick didn't have to sell us
Patriots
on
fans think
J.J.
he's overrated.
Watt. Well,
Patriots fans, as you like to say, Paul, are stupid.
I totally agree with Andy's. The only guy who might be playing better than J.J. Watt, we'll see next week, in Alden Smith.
I've heard more blowout predictions for this game. People don't even think Houston can be on the field.
That's ridiculous. Unless Houston is a zero, is a Kurt Warner team getting off a bus at a snowy field. Unless Houston is that and is just going to lay an egg and lay down and bend over and roll, whatever you want to call it, then there is no way in hell you should be overlooking the Texans, because they are arguably the most balanced team in football when you talk about run defense, pass defense, run offense, pass offense, quarterback, superstars, impact players, don't turn it over, everything.
And there's this, too, just who they've beaten.
Letter jackets.
They win. Oh. The letter jackets, certainly, and we'll be getting to those, trust me. At Denver, you know, they beat the Broncos there. They get blown out by Green Bay, which is a team that stylistically, on offense anyway, maybe there are some parallels to the Patriots, so I guess you could go to that. But they hammered Baltimore the following week at home. They beat Chicago in that slugfest game, although the Bears may be trending in the wrong direction. It's at least three legit wins, though, when you look at who they've beaten and who they've accomplished it against. Just to answer my own question, I think we're all in agreement on this.
We got a baby Felger over here.
Thanks, Felger.
I think we're all in agreement on this. I think there's more at stake, obviously, tangibly, for the Patriots to improve their record and to get in the mix.
Right.
Then, sure, there's more at stake for the Patriots. I just tend to agree. I think with Houston, if they want to legitimize themselves in their own eyes, you know, never mind in the eyes of us or football fans in New England or across the country, whatever it is.
Pole center really close tonight.
The pole center is a little under the weather.
Whoever it is, they need to legitimize themselves.
Yes.
And this win would go a long way towards doing that, even despite some of the games they've already won.
Because if both teams are what we think they might be, then the Patriots are playing at Houston for the AFC title game no matter what.
That's how I feel.
So, Houston, if you want to legitimately say, yeah, we're going to win this AFC title game at home, I think you don't have to win. Because, you know, three in a row on the road, but if you come out here and you push the Patriots to the limit, and it's a game like I think Adam and I might be predicting later, then I think you walk away saying, yeah, you know, there's no moral victories, but you say, we can hang with them.
Yeah.
When they come to our house, the roof will be closed and we'll be kicking ass.
See, for part of the reason I feel that way about Houston, too, I think home field for them is extremely important, whereas the Patriots, I'm not so sure how much they need home field advantage. I think the bye is more important than the number one seed. How important is home field advantage for this New England team, in your view?
I think it's extremely important. I would agree with you that it's probably more significant for Houston because... for obvious reasons. I mean, they just have never been here before. They've never gone on the road and won a playoff game. You know, the Patriots have done it that way. They've been the number two seed and gone to Pittsburgh on two different occasions and won AFC title games. The second time over a 15-1 Pittsburgh team. So the Patriots can do it. Now, I often, people that listen to me a lot might think what I just said was a little hypocritical. I've often said these aren't the same Patriots that won those games. But Tom Brady's still here, and Bill Belichick is still here.
But
those are the Patriots that are most important to me, and they're the ones that were through those wins.
We got a problem.
What's an uh-oh?
I don't know. Getting a lot of tweets that Facebook is down? That's unfortunate for a show that airs on Facebook.
Probably doesn't bode well for the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com, also on Facebook.
But just maybe.
When it's up and working, yeah.
Just to finish that thought, Adam.
Isn't Facebook being down like God being down at this point? Aren't there like 8 billion Facebook users? Isn't that something you can't allow to go down? Isn't that a company you can't allow to fail?
I think it's just our audio player. The rest of the
Facebook people. Oh, good. Work. Everything but us works.
Yes. Yep. You can play
go to iTunes Radio. You can get it.
Play Farmville and all those things. You just can't listen to
iTunes Radio. Is that where we're directing people who can't hear us right now?
The pregame.
That's where I'm going to direct them.
But Paul,
if you can't hear us,
send a tweet out. I'll retweet it. Figure out how to get around this, and I'll retweet it.
To finish up on the point, Paul.
No, about
you know, because no one's hearing it.
I mean, there is an importance. I think there's an importance for both teams for home field because I do think
Adam's genuinely interested.
I think it's obvious. I mean, I think it's tougher to win on the road. I mean, I'm not breaking any new ground here, but I do think it's more important for Houston because I don't think they could use the added advantage of being at home, just because it's, you know, they haven't really been through the rigors of a postseason. But I agree with Andy. Bottom line, anything can happen. I don't want to eliminate any scenario. I mean, the Patriots could come in here and do what Green Bay did, and throw the ball with amazing efficiency. I don't think that will happen, but I'm not going to dismiss it as a possibility. Houston could just come out and shut down the Patriots early and get their offense rolling, and the ball rolls out. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it'll be a tight game, but I think it's important for Houston. For any result is okay, as long as it's not a blowout loss. I think a blowout loss could do a lot of damage psychologically to Houston. Whereas for the Patriots, a blowout loss isn't going to be the best thing. But I've seen this team come back from bad performances in the past.
They did it Pittsburgh last year.
You know, and I could, you know, it's not going to be a good thing if they get thoroughly outplayed here at home and then have to come back and play a tough San Francisco team. But I've seen them do that. I haven't seen Houston do it yet. So I think that'd be the only scenario that I think would be troublesome for one team or the other.
I'm sorry, I'm just watching the timeline blowing up about Facebook being down. And now they're listening on TuneIn, seems to be fine, as well as the iPhone app seems to be fine. A lot of people listening to those. And apparently Facebook is all effed up.
Yeah, if you search for the Patriots and or
on TuneIn
Social on TuneIn Radio or iTunes Radio or anything,
or if you have the app,
you can catch it there.
You can get it there.
Beautiful. Well, you're hearing Matt LaPan
because it is the game of the year, you know, and this would not be the game we want to go down.
We're hearing Matt LaPan from the Poll Center. What do you got over there, LaPan?
A little cold by the sounds of it. Sniffle.
No, just a sneeze earlier. Do I sound stuffed up?
You look.
Anyways, sound fine to me.
What is the biggest point of emphasis for the Patriots to win tonight?
Point of emphasis.
Force turnovers, stop the run, red zone defense, limit turnovers, contain J.J. Watt and the Texans pass rush, or pressure Matt Schaub.
Can I pick two? Can I take two?
I'm going to go with J.J. Watt and the pass rush.
I think it's the pass rush, but I also think they have to stop the run. I think if you can make the Texans one-dimensional, you might have a chance. But if they're doing what they want and it's third and two every time after 2 4-yard Foster runs, I think Matt Schaub could eat this defense alive. So I want to stop the run and J.J. Watt. It's just two Pro Bowlers. Don't worry about it. Not that hard.
Paul?
I think it's the pass rush because I think the Patriots offense has shown, let's say Andy's second worry becomes a legit worry and they can't stop Arian Foster and Houston's offense. Well, that's a scenario the Patriots have been in at times. Not necessarily with the run, but they've been in some shootouts. They can operate that way, but if they can't be on offensively the way that they normally want to be, and that's what happens if J.J. Watt and company completely disrupt the offense and suddenly they can't get to 20, they can't operate like that.
Oh, so shut up, you.
I think that's the market
cheddar.
Two quick things, guys.
I'm arguing with Twitter.
He's like yelling in the middle of all of my
Andy
points.
Andy has
tonight.
A lot of sway. It yes. was all tied at 33% for forced turnovers, contained pass rush, and stop the run. Now stop the run up to 60%. And according to everyone on the chat, Facebook is working just fine.
Great.
Yeah, I am enjoying this thoroughly where everybody's telling me my Facebook's working. It's fine. It's not fine. It's down. My stream is fine. Not stream.
Don't cross the stream.
Sounds like a personal problem.
Don't want to cross the stream.
And then Mark and Cheddar have
and
to.
And if it burns,
you realize
sure you
telling people who can't listen to PBGS how to listen to BPGS is useless. Yes, Mark, we know.
We will get to some feedback. I think Mark may be in the inbox, web radio. At Patriots.com. You can also give us a call.
He broke his all-time
record.
Well,
it's a big game. I am hyped up. I almost wore my letter jacket. I don't think it fits anymore, but...
The Fs?
What?
The Bows. Excuse me, not the
yeah,
Fs.
Oh,
the
Bows. No, I don't have a Tufts letter jacket.
Oh, no.
You don't?
Bows. No.
I don't think they had them.
I figured an old school Tufts would definitely have them. I have one. For BU.
This guy over here.
He's got a baseball letter jacket.
What is so embarrassing about that?
I chose to skip getting the letterman's jacket from Westfield for track.
What is so embarrassing about that?
If maybe
you and Albert Breer can wear them together.
I have not worn it since I was in college, but
it wouldn't fit.
Well, you still have it though. Fit.
No, there's no chance you could button it.
I'll guarantee.
Oh, no chance. Not without shooting somebody with a button.
I'm going to go home tonight. Well, not tonight, because it's going to be about 6 a.m.
I'm going to go home this week.
I will put it on, and I will take a picture of it.
Ah, my eye.
I'm not going to go through the nonsense.
I'm not going to bring it in here. And right.
Come on, that'd be funnier. That sounds like a Tuesday PFW in progress to me. Or like Wednesday on a Monday.
Depending on how it fits, we'll see.
Sounds like a nice segment.
No, it's much funnier if it comes to like here, and there's like
it's not going to be like
a six-inch stretch.
Because it was a reasonably
big you bought it big. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I
thought it fit back then.
I know where I'm headed. I'm 19, but I know where I'm going with this.
I know. These beers aren't going to age well. I know how this is going.
Nope.
So Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We'll get in your feedback. Webradio, patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
We are presented. I don't feel the energy coming from
buy
you.
Buy the Dunkin' Donuts. Make you a, or
you're stopping
make you
everybody's
a sandwich,
energy
rather.
Mid-sentence.
Well, he's like dragging through over here.
Oh,
is this the bacon cheddar?
It is.
Duncan's phenomenal.
He tried
bacon.
It. He tried
cheese
it, by
bakery
the way.
Sandwiches. He tried the cheddar bacon or the ham and cheese?
Bacon cheddar Swiss, I believe.
Yes.
Phenomenal. Has a strange yet appealing mustardy substance on it that is phenomenal.
Well, that's going to sell it. Strange mustardy.
No, it's like you don't know what it is exactly. Is it like a honey mustard? Is it a spicy mustard? Is it a
the
mix?
The man is insane.
And it is phenomenal. I can't recommend them enough.
A nice mustardy finish. They're made with care, so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures.
Hot.
Get yours today.
You're supposed to let him do the read.
America runs on Dunkin'.
I thought they liked before these live, like personal reads about people who've actually tried the product.
Not when you can't hear the information.
Before we get
bacon cheddar Swiss, try one.
Before we get to the feedback, one more question here, because I've heard you say this numerous times over the last month or so. There are no good teams in the NFL. What is Houston?
A good team. No, I mean, for whatever a good team is in this year, mm-hmm. Houston is a good team. I think they're slightly better than the Patriots in terms of the talent they bring to the table. I think they're a little bit better. They're in a tough stretch here on the road, three games. I think their coaching is less. And I think their quarterback is a little bit less. And that's probably why I'm going with the Patriots tonight. But other than that, I think they are whatever passes for a pretty good football team. And I think you're going to see another one next week, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
These are, you know, the few best. There's no coincidence that the Patriots are on a six-game winning streak and the Broncos are on an eight-game winning streak, whatever. I mean, that's what a good team does. They win. They win number of games in a row. They win games they should. Bad teams, or teams that can't live up to their talent, fire their offensive coordinator because they're not doing what they need to do to win, like the Baltimore Ravens. So that's that differentiation. And to me, I think the Texans are good in that you look at the Jags game or the Lions game and say, they won. They got the job done, they won. I don't put that in, oh, you know what, they were laying the foundation for, they're not a very good football team. They stumbled against Jacksonville. I think they're a good team that found a way to win.
Yeah, I made the point about, last week about the Houston win over Jacksonville in particular. I think a lot of people got very excited about the way the Patriots beat Miami. And I think with good reason. Because I think when you don't play exceptionally well at what you normally do really well and find a way to win another way, that means that you're a pretty good team. I like the way Andy said, you know, when you start winning down the stretch and you start putting together wins, that's not by accident. That's what good teams do. And that's what the Patriots have always done. They always seem to sort of crescendo to the end of the season and play their best in December. And that's when, you know, it's been how many years?
Are they working in concert?
Can you shut up for at least 5 seconds? Even when I'm trying to defend him and
I got to tell you what Brady has been able to orchestrate.
What is his problem?
I don't know. Must have been that mustardy
stuff.
Who
let Andy have candy?
That
anyway,
mustardy stuff on the sandwich.
Back to my point, Adam. That little mustardy weird stuff.
It might have been the red velvet donut.
That's what I thought Houston did
week,
a month
frosty.
Ago at home against Jacksonville. Uh-huh. They don't want to play games that are in the 30s. They want to win 24, to 10 over a team like Jacksonville. But it wasn't their day. They laid up all these big plays. The Jaguars were in it. They had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. And yet Houston found a way to put things together and win a different way. That way was Matt Schaub throwing for 530 yards or whatever it was and putting up 43 points. I thought that was a tremendously impressive win. Even though you look at it and say, the Jaguars are 2-10. How are they struggling like that at home? To me, if they had won the game, 17-16 on a last-second field goal at home against Jacksonville, I'd say, that's a crappy win. Like, the Patriots winning 37-31 at home against Buffalo was kind of a crappy win, I thought. Because you got everything the way you wanted to. You just played so lethargically that the other team had a chance to win.
They hung around. And
this game, to me, you did it in a totally different way. It just wasn't your day, and you found a way to come back and win. I think there's a difference there, and I think that's what the Patriots did in Miami last week. 23-16 behind the defense, not the offense. That's what got, you know, to me, that's what stuck out about that game was the third quarter especially. The Dolphins took over twice in Patriots territory and went three and out. And I think that's how you win games. You find a different way to win.
All right, let's open up the phones here. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. You can get in touch, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Taking your thoughts on Patriots and Texans. We're a little over 2 hours away from kickoff here in Foxborough. And we'll begin things with Melvin in Tennessee. What are you looking for tonight, Melvin?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Great. Looking forward to this game.
Still raining, Melvin. Still raining.
Of course. Oh, that's...
Yeah,
that's good. I think that plays to our hand. I like the rain. But
I don't.
As far as this game goes, I can't wait for it. Of course, like everybody said, we've been waiting for this all year. I just think this game, just to neutralize this pass rush that they're going to try to bring, if I was thinking, I'd just throw some wide receiver screens and fake the draw behind. And just like we talked about a couple weeks ago, we just keep them guessing. Just like everybody else in the offense, with any game plan, you want to keep the defense on their heels. So, as long as you can, you don't want J.J. Watt or any of them to come get you. You want to attack them first. So keep them guessing and keep that defensive line guessing. And then I think this battle in the trenches that I predicted will play in Patriots' hands, especially with the rain. Maybe it can slow them down the cold. That'll get them a little bit uncomfortable up there. But another question I was thinking about was, what's the role of Patrick Chung on this defense now? Like, ever since he's been out, you know, I'm concerned that I don't know what they're actually doing with him. Does anybody know, really?
He's seen limited playing time, handfuls of snaps the last couple
maybe
games.
Maybe sixth defensive back at
yeah,
this point?
Yeah, and now maybe that changes. Maybe you look at him in a game like this where the other team is a run-first type team. Maybe he has a bigger role in sub-packages. I don't know. But right now he's trying to work his way back into the rotation for this team. I mean, Kyle Arrington as the nickelback has played very well over the last week plus 2 weeks. And, you know, some people have said all along he looked like a nickelback, and maybe he's kind of falling into that role that he's best suited for. But, you know, Tavon Wilson has some size, probably has, theoretically anyway, better coverage ability than Patrick Chung at a bigger frame. So I think Patrick Chung, for a guy who started the year talking about, you know, the Boston Herald was talking $40 million contracts with him, he's ending the year as kind of an afterthought right now in this rotation.
The Boston Herald, huh, Perola?
No, and once again, we have a pregame social where we can't help ourselves but take a shot at our fellow media members.
A quick note off Twitter involving a couple former Patriots.
Saw one of these.
Brian Hoyer,
yep,
claimed by the Arizona Cardinals off waivers to make room for him. Rich Ornberger goes on IR with a knee injury.
Okay.
He, who the other night tweeted out a photo of him, quote, doodling, and it was like a stripper on a stripper pole naked. And like, it was very funny.
He is just
You
insane.
Should follow him if
Brian
you don't
Hoyer
already.
Got to have a chance to start, I would think.
And Tyquan Underwood retweeted that tweet saying he was claimed, saying this boy can play. For what that's worth.
That Underwood, excuse me, that Hoyer can play.
Yeah.
All right. We'll fit right in. Yeah. Lindley,
they were together for like
Skelton.
From Underwood.
And, yeah.
Which,
from
that, if I'm Brian Hoyer, I'm really... I'm retweeting that one.
You think it would mean more if Welker said it?
Or anybody that, you know.
Anybody not named Underwood or Lombardi?
Your thoughts on where Chung fits in, though?
Same as what Andy said. I think right now he's the sixth defensive back. I think he has been the third safety, but they haven't used a lot of that big nickel look, that three safety look. I think right now McCourty is the guy that they've moved from corner to safety. And I think the whole key has been sort of the ascension of
Alphonse, a musical term? I don't think Alphonse,
well, that's what I said. I said they're ascending.
He said crescendo.
No,
really.
First,
crescendo.
And then I said, and they.
Yeah, but crescendo is what an orchestra does, right? No, reaches its crescendo?
Yeah, and then I used the word ascension, and you got all up.
No. Crescendo was the musical term I
but
was
anyway, Alphonso Dennard.
Ascension's a normal term.
In the corner. I think it's been a big key to the secondary. Now, I also want to pump the brakes on the whole defensive improvement thing. I think they played extremely well last week. I think the other games that Tlaib has played in have been sort of okay. Tlaib, specifically, I think, has been just okay. I think last week, in particular, he got beat a number of times and didn't pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to keep an eye on as well.
Let me ask you this stat, and I'm sure you've seen it floating around. Patriots defense sending five or more pass rushers on the season. First nine games, i.e. before Tlaib was here, they blitzed 15% of the time. They allowed four touchdowns, had no picks, and a completion percentage somewhere around 74%. Last three games, blitzing over 28% of the time, completion percentage is less than 50%. They haven't given up a touchdown. What's the biggest reason for that shift in philosophy or just the improvement there?
To me, it's situational. Two of those games, you had a four-touchdown lead, and you can get after them. A 49-19 win and a 59-24 win or whatever it was against the Colts allows you to get much more aggressive.
It's also two rookie quarterbacks and Sanchez who you're going against as well.
Yeah, two rookie quarterbacks and a jag of all jags.
A less than rookie.
So I think it's situational.
Ass, you know.
And you could sit there and say, well, they didn't blitz Sanchez as much the first time around. Well, they didn't have a 49-19 lead the first time. It wasn't 35-0 at the half.
Plus, don't you think there's something to be said for your safeties are healthy too? I mean, you've got your starting free safety in Gregory back, and you have McCourty who has become your starting safety, whatever you want. I think there should be something to be said for that too. Because certainly in terms of shutdown coverage, it hasn't been Aqib Talib. It's not like they've said, that guy just takes a blitz. That guy can cover anybody. I mean, he's been getting toasted virtually, you know, a handful of times every game.
And you want to talk about sending five or more
Adam
rushers?
Not.
Houston does that.
I could tell if you were done. Sorry.
Houston does that more than anybody.
You were building
in the
to a crescendo. Yeah, I wasn't sure. Yeah.
You know what? I'm just going to say every cliche that pops into my head from now on, just so you guys can understand it.
Great. That way we can get to Mark in the Cheddar's email here, webradio at patriots.com. He writes in. Excuse me, Mark from the Cheddar. Pac-Man, Big Head, and Paul. Quick question for Big Head: with the Cardinals claiming Brian Hoyer, will Hoyer get his first NFL start this season?
I don't know.
I will say yes.
Who's hurt? I don't even know the situation there, so I can't.
Oh, I think they're all healthy.
Well, Cobb is still hurt, but
Skelton and Lindley are played, and they set the game.
If those two are healthy and they claimed him, then yes, they're looking for something else.
Right.
So,
sent the position back decades with that performance yesterday.
So finally, Mike Lombardi is right. He's going to start in the NFL somewhere.
Yeah,
for a team that's lost 11 in a row and can't find a quarterback.
For a team on an 8-game losing streak that had their quarterbacks combined for 9 turnovers yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
9-game losing streak. Lost 58-0.
I did want to somebody brought up like trick plays earlier or something. Josh McDaniels. I don't know. Anyway, I did think it's funny, like Josh McDaniels, we were talking about this upstairs, is now sort of, you know, there's chatter, there was a Pro Football Talk thing, you know, maybe he could be a head coaching candidate again quickly with what he's doing this offense.
If Lombardi goes and gets a job.
Well, yeah, that was McDaniels, one of them, but, you know, Lombardi also, apparently Nick Saban has said he would want Lombardi to be his GM, whatever. This is a game that I think could cement something like that. I mean, if you have, you know, certainly this two-game stretch, if suddenly the Patriots offense comes out and is good to great in these two games on national TV against two of the better defenses in the NFL, this is you know, catapult type games that land you those interviews and those
catapult.
Your career could crescendo.
I was just going to say he's ascending
and
towards another.
Could
head
allow you
job.
To yes. orchestrate a move to a new city as a head coach.
You guys, want
to
do some over unders?
Where you could
Mark from the Cheddar.
Love it.
Patriots points
symphonize with Michael Lombardi.
26.36.
What's
over
that? Patriots.
Yes, Patriots.
Over.
Points.
Big. 27.
Texans points, 24.1.
Under.
Over.
Over on both, Paul. Okay.
Why don't you answer?
Oh, I usually just let you guys do it, but I would say
Over. I think that's how the fans like it.
Over and under. Over and under, respectively. Brady passing yards, 278.4.
Over.
Over.
I would go over as well. Welker receiving yards, 101.85.
Over.
Under.
See, I would go under as well. Stallworth receptions. This one seems self-evident. 4.19.
Under.
Yeah, under.
I know what. 4.19. See what he did there? Well done, Mark.
Spikes, forced fumbles, 0.74.
Under.
Under.
I believe they have two lost fumbles all year.
And
well, that doesn't mean he won't force one.
That's McCourty, Super Bowl. Quote-unquote big plays. This includes his positive and negative plays. So plays he gives up and plays he makes.
Who's this?
McCourty. 5.43.
I'm going to take the under because since he's moved
under.
To safety, he hasn't really been a big play machine either way.
I'll say under.
Right? I mean, it's kind of been a solidifying
position.
It's
kind of hard to identify him as the guy on a bad play.
Well, I don't know. We identified Tavon Wilson in Seattle.
Well, that one was a little bit easier.
We identified him a week later in London.
I'll give you an example.
Identified himself on the bench.
I'll give you an example, Andy.
What's the opposite of a crescendo in an orchestra?
Brian Hartline running by Aqib Talib last week, and Talib sort of looking bet. Right. Like, maybe that was McCourty was supposed to be over there.
Nah.
Maybe it was Gregory. Maybe neither one of them was supposed to be there, and Talib was just looking for a scapegoat.
That's what I would
do. I don't know.
Every time I get beat, I would throw my hands up like something happened.
There's also this email from
Bill Berry. Those letter jackets again that Adam doesn't want to talk about because it's more of a C story.
Webradio.patriots.com, and I caught this earlier this week. Bill writes in, Felger Maz tried throwing Paul a curveball by being Patriots fans this week, and they forgot that Patriots fans and Paul are a volatile mix. Did that throw you in an awkward spot earlier this week there, Paul?
Yeah, those they're just beyond insufferable, the two of them. They really are.
Three or four.
I look forward to my Wednesdays. I love talking to those guys. But yeah, their whole thing was didn't you see the look that team? And I go, the look on Sunday? Like, you know, and I just got finished saying the whole thing that I kind of talked about here with I thought it was impressive the way they found a way to win without their stuff. Mm-hmm. But to me that the look is, you know, summarily dismissing an inferior team. Not, you know, sort of getting in a dogfight and stumbling a little bit offensively and having your defense bail you out. That's not the look for the Patriots right now. Again, a very encouraging win because they were able to do it a different way. But, yeah, that's how it just spiraled out of control. And, you know, they're another one. Those two, every team, they make Andy look like he's very positive. Uh-huh. Every team sucks. Everything sucks to those two. I mean, it's like, you know, They can't beat anybody. They, you know, who's going to come in and beat them? They can't. It's like they alternate between the Patriots are the best team in the world and the Patriots are overrated and they can't beat anybody of substance.
Just doing a checklist here. We got the Boston Herald, we got Mike Lombardi, and we got Felger and Maz so far. And we're only a half hour into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
This is
Adam
what
Jones,
we do.
Paul Barillo.
Love you guys. If you're listening, Mike and Tony, I'll see you on Wednesday.
We're here on Patriots.com.
Brady made it. Just drove in on a golf cart. Woo!
Patriots and Texans. We're about 2 hours like away from kickoff here on Patriots.com. And coming up next, we've given you the view here from New England. We'll get the view from the other side as we check in with John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. That's next here on Patriots.com.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Welcome to Dunkin' Donuts.
I need some of Dunkin's delicious packaged coffee.
Sure, how many do you need?
One for everybody on my holiday shopping list.
Wow, so that's why you brought a wheelbarrow.
Give the gift everyone loves to get. Delicious Dunkin' Donuts packaged coffee. Get 2 pounds for just $12.99. Available only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'. Plus applicable taxes. Single pound sold at regular price. Offer excludes 8-ounce packages. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
This is Jake Beckett of the New England Patriots, and y'all are listening to the Patriots Pregame Social with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo.
It's 5 o'clock, just got paid.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots Pregame Social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo with you here on Patriots.com. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You're on Patriots.com. We're taking you up to Pats and Texans, 8:30 kickoff time here in Foxborough. And we're what? About a half an hour away from inactives coming out here. And the only player ruled out for the Patriots is their tight end, Rob Gronkowski. Some of the players who got back out on the field this week.
He's such a radio guy. Whether it's Chandler Jones.
They
like that in Bristol?
Probably not. But that's why he's here. Chandler Jones, Logan Mankins back at practice this week since this is one of our last chances to get our guesses in before inactives come down. Do you expect those guys to play?
Yes. It's always good when they, certainly with Mankins, when he's around and visible, and he obviously was around and visible this week, spoke with the media. And I think it's an interesting one. Chandler Jones, you need him back. I don't think it's, as I said earlier, I don't think it's a coincidence that the run defense kind of struggled with him out there. You need him for the pass rush. But Mankins, right back out there, theoretically, against J.J. Watt. I mean, Watt is going to line up on that side with Soldier and Mankins. They bump him inside in those sub-packages. You know, for a guy coming off of 3 straight games he missed and 4 out of 6 or whatever it is, who's had nonstop injuries all year, that's a tough just, you know, right out of that. That's like getting, you know, the 100-mile-an-hour fastball on your first pitch after an extended absence from the lineup. And we'll see if he's ready for it. We know he's tough, but that doesn't mean you're in, you know, the old Albert Haynesworth. Might need a little rust knocked off, and you don't want Tom Brady to come at the expense of that.
Yeah, I think Jones is almost a lock. The way he sounded, and I know that sometimes the rookies can get a little carried away. We saw that with Dante Hightower earlier in the year when he got the hamstring, and he certainly sounded like he was going to play that next week, and then I think he missed the next 2 games.
Like Steve Gregory.
Steve Gregory all year, yeah. But Mankins I'm a little less sold on than Andy is. I didn't get a great vibe in listening to him talk, saying, you know, I'll be back when my body tells me I'm ready to be back, and you know, maybe he was.
And you
trying
know
to,
that's not true.
Maybe
that's
he was trying to downplay it a little bit, but I'm a little more concerned about Mankins. And Andy's right about Watt, because they'll move him all over the place. He'll be on left side, right side, inside, in sub situations. They move him around, and Mankins's presence, I think, would be a little bit more settling for Tom Brady.
All right. Well, that's the view here in New England. Time now to get the view from the other side.
View from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
And to do that, we welcome in John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. And John, we're all in agreement here that this is a bigger game for Houston than it is for New England. What is the view in Houston?
Well, prestige-wise, it's big for Houston, but as far as the standings, Texans can lose this game, win their last three, finish 14-2, so a home field advantage. So I think they'll lose this game. I don't think it'll be bad if they do lose, because I think they're going to play again in the playoffs, and the odds of beating Brady and Belichick two times would be almost minuscule. So it's big for prestige, but when the standings, it's not that big a deal when you still control your destiny.
Where is the psyche of the Texans as a team? Because we've heard so much this year from the Falcons about not getting enough respect, and now they've kind of fallen off the wayside here. Are the Texans a team that has a chip on their shoulder that doesn't think they get enough respect? Are they confident in their own skills? Do they think they're an elite football team?
I've never heard them use that line at all. That goes from Gary Kubiak. Gary's been to six Super Bowls. He's got three rings as a coach, and he coaches them. He was a big admirer of the 49ers when he was there, and of course all those years at Denver. They don't complain. They're not controversial. They're a very boring team to cover because they say all the right things. They do all the right things. And this year and last year, too, they've been able to win. What they accomplished last season, losing as many players as they did, still winning a playoff game, and losing a 7 at Baltimore in a divisional round, gave them a lot of confidence. And they've been good on the road. The matchup has been on a run for 17-4 last 2 years, 9-2 on the road. He's on a 15-1 run. And they've been pretty resilient. They've overcome injuries. They've overcome some bad conditions on the road, like in Chicago with wind, rain, and cold. And they're a very methodical, workmanlike organization that does it. You don't see them on, SportsCenter much.
John, just before I ask my question, I'll tell you, you don't know boring and covering a team until you come here to New England for a while and cover this team. But I wanted to ask you specifically about the defense. And a lot of people talked, and they point to it, especially Patriots fans who are looking for a reason to have a lot of faith in their team. They point to that Green Bay game, and they see the way Aaron Rodgers was sort of able to spread that defense out a little bit and have success. Are they vulnerable to that with the situation they have in the secondary, or was that just a great performance by Aaron Rodgers that night?
I've covered the NFL for 36 years, and I've never seen a quarterback throw the ball like Rodgers did that day. Through six touchdown passes, four when the receivers were perfectly covered, he just put the ball right where he had to. They're 6-1 since that game, and if Brady comes out and is determined to throw the ball down the field and he throws it like Rodgers did, of course, Rodgers had perfect conditions in Reliant Stadium with the roof closed, then he may have that same kind of game. But I think it was more Rodgers than them. And their defense is 6 now. It was 2nd. It was 2nd last year. They're 2nd against the run. But Matthew Stafford, Chad Henne, Jake Locker, those guys have been throwing the ball a lot against their secondary. And two of them were shootouts, and the other one was desperation by Locker where they gave up a lot of yards. But they've been good against the run. I expect them to do a good job against Ridley, and I think Brady will throw the ball all over the place. And we're going to have a fun shootout with the Patriots winning the game.
Well, I guess we know how you feel.
We usually save that for last, John.
We didn't even have to ask. But as you mentioned, you've been around this league a long, long time. The year that J.J. Watt is having sort of put that in perspective for us. And do you think he's a legitimate MVP candidate?
MVP candidate, no. Peyton Manning's going to win that. But NFL Defensive Player of the Year, it looks like it's between him, Von Miller, and Alden Smith. And those guys are sack guys. And Miller also has 6 forced fumbles. But Watt, to play inside, and I heard you guys talking earlier, they will move him to right defensive end, right tackle, left defensive end. He'll play everywhere but the nose. The idea is to keep him on the move. So besides sack 16.5 and his 27 tackles for loss, 31 hits on the quarterback, 15 pass deflection, here's a stat that I got this week. He has had 71 plays for 0 or negative yards, and that's unheard of. He has 11 tackles for loss on the run. And, of course, he's created 8 turnovers with his 5 deflections intercepted, 2 fumble recoveries, and a forced fumble. So he is everything that people think he is, and the main thing is he's very, very consistent. I can't wait to see what kind of plan Dante Scarnecchia and Bill Belichick have developed for him.
Yeah, I wanted to switch on the other side of the ball real quick, John. How do you think Houston will attack the Patriots' defense? I know that they generally like to run the ball, but what will they do?
What they'll do early is Matt Schaub will throw. He's a rhythm passer. They like to get him into a rhythm. Then they run Arian Foster. He could be Ben Tate. He's been hurt most of the year. But when he's been healthy, he's run really well, and he's healthy. I know the Patriots have given up a lot of plays down the field. I'm assuming the Patriots are going to double Andre Johnson, so you'll see guys like Owen Daniels, Keyshawn Martin, James Casey, those guys catching the ball. And I think it's going to be like a chess match between Wade Phillips and then I can't wait to Brady. To me, of all the matchups, that's the one I'm most excited about.
All right, we'll leave it there. He's John McClain of the Houston Chronicle joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. John, we know you got to run. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
All right, John McClain joining us here on Patriots.com. And I sort of
rolled
my eyes.
I'm interested in seeing his game, by the way. Aren't you?
A shootout and a high-scoring game.
Love to see that.
I want to go back to a point he made, because I sort of rolled my eyes at this, where he said that Aaron Rodgers just played this awesome game, and he threw passes where they needed to be, and they were all pinpoint. And I sort of rolled my eyes, and I said, all right, here we go. If you agreed with that, Paul?
I actually do. And now that he didn't say all of them.
The touchdown passes, he said were all right on the money.
I don't know, you
six
know,
perfect throws.
Yeah, he said there were four. Six he said four of them were very well defensed. I don't know what the numbers are.
Patriots fans would like him. They're big believers that there are some throws that are just uncoverable.
But I do think that night,
and he throws near Tate.
Green Bay offensively that night
corner.
Was special.
Arrington on the outside.
Sorry,
continue.
I was building to a crescendo there. now I'm lost. I do feel like Green Bay was special offensively that night. Now, certainly the Patriots are capable of being special offensively. Tom Brady has been special more often than not throughout his career. So a repeat of that is not out of the question. But I do feel like that was less an indictment on Houston's defense that night and more of yet another reason why Aaron Rodgers is an MVP.
Speaking of special, we always like to keep involved with our Twitter, and obviously it's hashtag PPGS if you want to get involved in the conversation on Twitter. Real Donald Trump tweeted, good luck to Bob Kraft, Tom Brady, and Coach Bob Belichick tonight.
Excellent.
Okay, then.
Is he going to be in the box with...
Is he hanging out with Marky Mark?
Marky Mark's supposed to be up there tonight.
Marky Mark's here?
Yeah, supposedly.
Does he have the funky bunch with him?
It's good what vibrations.
Does he have Ted with him?
That's what I read earlier in the week.
Drop an F-bomb.
Bob Belichick,
by the way,
I got to tell you, I think Bob Belichick has a nice game plan for tonight.
I think he does.
I got to agree with the real Donald Trump on that one.
If the game unfolds like John McClain said, we get into a shootout, and Brady is anything like Aaron Rodgers,
yep.
I got to think a lot of fantasy owners will be happy in this last night of the week here, because you know six touchdowns, that's going to be good for a fantasy guy.
That would be nice.
That could probably change some matchups,
If Bob Belichick's pushing the right buttons, we're going to see high scoring game.
Jim
just like
McDaniels,
what John McClain wants.
Don Scarnecchia.
It's Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. You can get in touch 508-298-0398, just like Jeff in Vegas is doing. What are you looking for here tonight, Jeff?
And where you been?
Hi guys. How are ya?
Well, I don't know. We started the show like an hour ago. Where were ya?
Hey, you pulling a Scalavino here? What's going on?
Speaking of building to a crescendo / climax.
All right, all right. This is a family show. Just because it's allowed in Vegas doesn't mean it's allowed on this show.
All of Las Vegas, the entire country, is counting down the minutes until kickoff.
I agree.
Everyone has been waiting for this game, and even I had to do some work things, believe it or not. I had to get those out of the way.
You have work?
So I can focus. Yeah, sometimes, you know, I hire on a recruiter, hire salespeople.
Oh, nice.
Now,
need any help?
Actually, we do. We need some energy, enthusiasm, charisma.
Hello! Ding, 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 ding.
I'm a people person.
I heard Bob Belichick's available.
Yeah, well, speaking of Bob Belichick, didn't Donald Trump, maybe his daughter didn't stack up? That's one of the reasons. I know he's trying to set his daughter up with Brady back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I do kind of recall that.
Yeah.
Ivanka.
A while ago.
Yeah, so maybe that's one of the factors that put him out of the running. And that reporter that you guys had on, the Texans are staying out of the headlines. That's great. They do it right. But are the Texans relevant enough, or have they been, to be in the headlines? Did anyone really notice them or care enough to put them in headlines?
Well, their record.
Well, they have won 15 of the last 16 games.
Their record makes them relevant. I think what it is their superstars are reserved. Andre Johnson is one of the quietest superstar diva receiver types you'll ever see on the planet. Arian Foster is an undrafted guy who's quiet. Even Matt Schaub, as a backup development guy, doesn't have really an ounce of star power to him. I think that's a big part of it, is their stars are just happy to be football players and win football games.
I should say under Schaub. 15 of the last 16 under Schaub.
Johnson's been playing well. He scares me. How is the weather exactly right now? Wind and precipitation?
Last I saw, we are behind cinder blocks right now. It wasn't raining, but I think it's going to be off and on all night. All day there's been like downpours and then nothing. And then
very
a downpour
warm,
and
though.
Then nothing. Oh, yeah.
It's been very warm.
Moist.
People are saying the tarps are off the field.
Yes, yes. And Matt Schaub's been warming up, and it looks fine out there. But I think you're going to see two or three different stretches in this game where weather could alter.
It didn't appear to be overly windy the last we were outside.
No.
It's not. Okay, well, the numbers held steady. New England, negative minus 3.5 all week, total 51. And that will bring us to the Jeff in Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
An hour late.
Brought to you by the Eye Candy Dancers. Well, guys, you know I've been going under a lot. I've been stubborn going under. I looked for a shootout. I'm going to go over the 51 and not on a parlay. Separate bet, I like New England and the over. New England to cover the 3.5 to go over the 51. And I share Paul's reservations and not having to playmake us, you know, without Gronk. Without, you know, Edelman's going to hurt. Who's going to be returning the punts as far as for our long yardage punt returner?
Oh, Wes, he can.
I would assume Welker, especially if it's raining.
Know, yeah, you think you're going to let Chung play with a wet ball?
Yeah, hopefully we can get some plays. I'm hoping the defense can turn them over and somehow maybe score or get a special teams play. I think that will aid greatly because I don't have any confidence in the defense stopping Johnson, so that's why I'm leaning over. I don't think the weather will be a factor. It's a very fast track unless it's real windy, as we know. So Patriots in the over, lock it in.
I like it. I like the I think I like it. What's the over?
51.
You don't.
Oh, I don't
your
like
score
it.
Is not.
I'm not quite on the over, but you might be right.
I like the over.
This is like the Ravens game from last year. I don't know what I think at any given moment. I got the Texans. I got the Patriots. I got the low score.
I'm not
I got
mistaken,
the high score.
I think you had 27-21 last year for that Ravens game, too.
It just must be your
indecisive score to fall back on.
I got the under as well, Patriots.
I like the over in this game a lot.
Interesting.
Do you see it being a Green Bay-style game or not that much of a...
Well, I don't know. Can anybody throw six perfect touchdown
passes?
Will
you shut up?
I enjoyed that.
Him and McLean.
I've been covering this league for 35 years.
36.
Well, he's
not
covered
sure.
five Super Bowls.
That's true.
That was the part that I kind of got a kick out of. You know, Gary Kubiak's been to six Super Bowls. Well, you know what? I have two, and I did as much as Gary Kubiak to get there.
But you don't have a leather jacket like Gary Kubiak wears. He's got a little swagger to him.
Speaking of the leather jackets, by the way.
Oh, now we can talk about it?
I was about to talk about this anyway.
It is the B. It is the B segment.
B segment. Web radio, patriots.com, is where Caverin, am I saying that right? In Gainesville, Florida, writes in.
Sure.
Guys, let me start by saying, hate the idea of these Letterman jackets. I mean, what are they going to do next? Give their game jersey and class ring to a girlfriend. Now for my question. Is tonight the time to bring out the up-tempo, quick offense that we last saw against Denver? I thought it would be a way to wear down Watt and control their pass rush.
I think yes.
Tempo, in and out of the huddle,
huddle. I think this is a tempo game. I do. I think this is they haven't had it. They haven't really used it for the last couple of weeks a lot, at all.
No. And it might be a way. Now, I don't know exactly how they move Watt around, but I don't know what types of personnel changes are involved with that. If it's just, you know, the left end moving to right and the right moving to left, or if there are some different subbings going on there. You also have some injuries in the back end. I don't know. You know, Jonathan Joseph,
I like
tweeted,
it.
He's, quote, suited and booted, ready to go. That's just, I don't really know what that means. I guess he's got cleats on. That means booted. And he's ready to play. But you know,
whatever they put on those turkey cheddar bacon, I would
that funky mustard like substance,
that strange mustardy substance he couldn't explain. It was
you don't knock it till you tried it.
Well, I might never try it the way you're.
No, it's good. You never eat something and you go.
I'm not necessarily knocking it as much as we are you.
The effect it has on you is really I'm always like this.
Let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398. Corey is calling us from Canada.
Hello.
What are your thoughts for tonight, Corey?
Hi there. I'm going, of course, go Patriots. I got one question for you.
Okay. Okay, hey.
Danny Woodhead, is he going to be a big part of the offense tonight's game? I got him in my fantasy pool. And do you think he'll get a touchdown against the Texans?
I don't think he's going to be a big. I do think they could run out of some of those sets, so maybe. But I think Shane Vereen has kind of taken over a bigger role in this offense over the last 3 weeks or a month.
Yeah, and I do think that this is the style of game that one of those sort of secondary backs might have success, especially if they do what Adam just talked about and they make it an up-tempo game. Well, maybe you stretch out Houston a little bit and you run out of some shotgun formations. I don't think you're going to run very much against Houston if you just want to line up Stephen Ridley and say, here we come, we're
going to
run.
Well, and just going back to the Denver game, I may be wrong on this, but that was when they had the really up-tempo and the running back just stayed in the game. And I think it was Vereen who ran one in from a yard out or whatever it was, or two yards
and people
out.
People thought that Ridley was in the doghouse after the game.
Yep.
And they also said, what made Vereen the perfect choice there? And Bill said, because he was in the game.
He was on the field.
So, I mean, I think they'll use them all if they're doing that up-tempo offense, right? And it's a matter of,
don't forget Bolden.
Who's in the game
at
that
Brandon
point.
Bolden, I would assume, would be active. I don't know why you would bring him back if you didn't plan to use him. You could have used that roster spot on someone else.
And you could also use a couple of those guys if you feel like your weapons are limited when you spread it out, motion them out into spread sets in the passing game. We've seen Vereen do that. We've seen Woodhead do that. We've seen Ridley do it a little bit. I don't think we've seen Bolden out there.
So expecting Bolden to be active, we're about 5 minutes away from the inactives being released here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perreault.
A tweet from Jeff Howe that has sort of brought up some questions from people. He had a strange tweet. I don't know if I can find it totally.
Once a week.
Excuse me.
It's like clockwork.
I'm using both my hands. I couldn't hit the cough button. Spikes isn't out for extra stretching, which had been the case the past 2 weeks. He's either over the ailment or inactive. We'll know in 20 minutes.
People are on the chat are saying they saw somewhere that Mankins is inactive. You've seen that anywhere?
I have not seen that.
I have not, but I would not be surprised.
I wouldn't be shocked if that ends up happening. That'd be a problem.
Well, I thought his comments about, I'll be back when my body says that to me was sort of an indication that he's not overly confident that he's going to be able to return. Or he could have just been playing coy with us and he knew all along he was going to play and didn't want to tip the hand.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, and it's time now for our Bose headphone giveaway. The eighth caller
Bose.
Of the contest line at 508-298-0392. Again, the contest line, 508-298-0392, wins a pair of Bose SIE2 Sport headphones. To push your workout to the limit, you need headphones that can keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering acclaimed Bose sound, sweat and weather resistance, and a comfortably secure and exclusive Reebok fitness armband. You demand more from your workout, shouldn't you demand more from your headphones as well? Bose, game-changing sound. And again, the eighth caller to the contest line, 508-298-0392, will win a pair of those Sport headphones. So make
sure
Bose. You dial up and get in on those. We will get to our keys next, as well as the inactives for this game between the Patriots and Texans. It's all next here on Patriots.com.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Welcome to Dunkin' Donuts.
I need some of Dunkin's delicious packaged coffee.
Sure, how many do you need?
One for everybody on my holiday shopping list.
Wow, so that's why you brought a wheelbarrow.
Give the gift everyone loves to get. Delicious Dunkin' Donuts packaged coffee. Get 2 pounds for just $12.99. Available only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'. Plus applicable taxes. Single pound sold at regular price. Offer excludes 8-ounce packages. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparella on the Patriots Pregame Social.
I think I can do that really well.
They should have asked you, in all honesty, to put down the track.
Yeah.
I think it sounds better.
I'm a good whistler.
I got to tell you, I think it sounds better.
I can whiffle while I work.
Andy Hart, Adam Jones, Paul Perillo here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots Pregame Social.
You got the inactives?
I do not. Do you?
No.
I was going to say, we're getting close to those. We're counting them down. A couple of players were back at practice this week. Logan Mankins, Chandler Jones, the only Patriot ruled out is Rob Gronkowski. By the way, if you're still calling on the contest line, we do have our winner for our Bose headphone giveaway.
Yeah, Bose.
It's Timothy Maloney from Hooksett, New York.
Baloney.
We do this each and every week on
from
the
where,
pregame
New York?
Show.
Hooksett, New York?
Hooksett, New Hampshire, excuse
oh,
me.
Okay.
We do it each and every
Why
week on the pregame show.
H.
So
you're supposed to be the professional one.
New Hampshire, New York, same difference.
Yeah.
We'll get to some of these phone calls here as we count down time.
I don't think either state would be comfortable with that.
We'll also get to the guy's keys coming up here momentarily as we take you up to Patriots and Texans, 8:30 kickoff time from Foxborough. Let's go to Victor in Ecuador. What are you looking for tonight, Victor?
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up?
Hey, Victor.
Hey, listen, I really don't want to talk about the game because I'm pretty sure we're going to win. I mean, Tom Brady's going to destroy the Texans. But I've just got two quick questions. The first one is Wes Welker. He's about to complete his fifth 100-catch season. He's going to be the part of at least 400 or 500 point scoring offenses. What do you think the chances are, realistically speaking, of him getting into the Hall of Fame? I mean, because as Andy always says, if you want to get into the Hall of Fame, you've got to be the best at your position for a certain period of time. And he has certainly been the best at his position, the slot receiver position, for ever since he got into the Patriots. I mean, that's not the same position as an outside receiver. So he has been the best. And my second question is to you, Andy. The 30-for-30 Bo Jackson special?
Yes.
Was that, like, born to you?
A little bit, although I got to admit, I loved every minute of it, but I was disappointed. I wanted more. I was left wanting more.
Can I give you the big? I have not seen it yet. I haven't set it on my DVR. But the biggest criticism.
How did you not watch it live?
I don't know. I was working that night, so I DVR'd it. I haven't gotten around to watching it.
You on the coach?
I was not. No, not on with the coach. But so the biggest criticism that I've heard is they had like all the same ESPN talking heads that you would see on like
yeah,
a
that
sports
was one
center
of my
or whatever.
That was a major
and it's
problem.
Like, where I want to hear from guys who played against
and
him,
they had some.
Or played on his team, or like people from rural Alabama who played. Like these are who I want to hear.
George
from.
Brett was good. Mark Gubiza was good. I thought Howie Long was only okay. I would have liked a more personable Raider. I said to Paul, I got to think there were some Raiders who didn't like that he just showed up mid-year. Try to find one of those. You know, Marcus Allen, you're our guy until week 9, and then Bo's going to kind of be our guy again. You know, like, find some of that. I didn't think they gave us enough new information. I didn't think they dug deep enough. And I didn't think, frankly, they gave us enough post-career Bo. I mean, you think about it, as they said, he was 28 when he retired, I think it was, or something ridiculous. And, you know, it was so long ago. What's Bo been doing? To go from arguably one of the top 3 or 4 most recognizable athletes on the planet. I mean, he had a cartoon. It was Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, and Bo Jackson. You know, that's where he was. Iconic figures. Well, where is he now? You know, what has he been doing for 2 decades? I was left wanting more, but, you know, some of it was great. You know, seeing Bo was great. He's a little fat, you know, sitting back, a little pudge hanging out, but, you know, seeing
him squeeze into his Letterman jacket.
But, all you know, some of the stuff, they had a little footage from his house where he just goes down in his man cave and makes arrows. He like, I my wife wants to watch football on Sundays. I watch for 5 minutes and I get bored and I go, can I go down to the man cave and make arrows? And like my trophy case, and he goes back in this back room and it's like a big buffalo head and a big deer on the, these are my trophies that I care about. You know, like I just wanted a little more of that, digging a little deeper into Bo. So it was good, not great.
Interesting. That's current Bo. He's out there bow hunting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who knew?
Goes into his. Also, apparently doesn't live in an overly spacious yard because he's like, when I really want to do long distance, I go over in the other side of my neighbor's yard and shoot across his yard into my. What? So his neighbor goes out to flip a burger and an arrow comes shooting by his face?
That sounds amusing. So that I gotta tune into. Anyway, back to his first point.
I'd let Bo do anything he wants.
On Welker, Hall of Famer?
Yes, anything.
You know, I think it's going to be an interesting situation with the Hall of Fame coming up in the next, say, 10, 12, 15 years with these guys that catch a ton of passes. Because I think the game is just so different. My answer is no. But it might change dramatically as this era continues and you see Wes Welker is that much better than everybody else. You know, at just the durability and doing it time. Like, I look at Brandon Marshall, who he tied Welker yesterday with his 400 catch season. I don't think Brandon Marshall is anywhere near a Hall of Fame player. I just don't look at him as being a dominant player. He's a good player. Wes Welker's a very good player. Brandon Marshall's a very good player, probably not just good. I just don't look at those guys as dominating the league. Statistically, they do. Andre Reed statistically dominated. I didn't look at him as a Hall of Fame player. You know, Art Monk. These are guys that caught a million passes. I just don't look at them as Hall of Famers. Now, I'm going to be wrong. A lot of these guys are going to be in the Hall of Fame, and I wouldn't take Welker's chances away. He's going to have a shot because he's going to put up numbers that are going to put him up there with the very best in the game. I just think it's the mentality has changed so much. Time is going to have to pass a little bit. And if you see, you know, over the next 10 years, if you see like 3 or 4 guys putting up 400 and 500 catch seasons, would you think differently of Welker? Because I would.
That's probably a fair point.
But if that doesn't happen, then I think differently of Welker.
But you're right. But when you think
now,
of,
and I think better of, I think more of him.
When you
than
think
I
of the
now.
Era, you think of the dominant guys, Calvin Johnson, the guy they're going up against tonight, Andre Johnson, you know, those are guys who I would picture as a cut above. Yeah.
And I don't look at, there's a, to me, Wes Welker is a wide receiver. He's not the best slot. He's a wide receiver. They don't have Hall of Famers for the best third down back or the best swing tackle. You know, this era of specialization. He's a wide receiver. He should be compared to
Tom
Calvin
Ashworth's
Johnson.
Like, hey, hey,
like
hey.
You said,
the best third.
But you know what I'm saying? Like this, you know, he's
Daniel
the best.
Fells.
He's the best slot receiver, so he's a Hall of Famer. Well, he is the best slot receiver. I'm not taking that away from him, but I don't look at it that way. He needs to be compared favorably with Calvin Johnson and Andre Johnson.
Well, the trouble is the water is so muddy now.
That's what I'm saying. It's going
to
be
to
hard.
Me. Antonio Gates is very much Wes Welker. They're both slot receivers. I think the melding of receivers coming in and tight ends coming out into that middle slot area, Aaron Hernandez, you know, you're seeing all these guys that, well, is he really a tight end? Because I don't really think it's fair. You know, to me, you know, I brought this up on PFW in Progress. Rob Gronkowski is like one good year away from being a tight end. I mean, a Hall of Famer. You know, Gale Sayers.
That to me is dominant, by the way.
But he's not the same. You know, he puts up ridiculous numbers. We'll go to the inactives real quickly. Yeah. McDonald, Zusevic, Gronkowski, Beckett, Brace, Martin, Devlin.
So that means so, Chandler Jones, Logan Mankins
back.
Are active.
So absolutely no one of any interest on the inactive sheet aside from Rob Gronkowski. And Jake Beckett, who I want to thank for doing the nice whatever you call those
that
things
was,
earlier.
That was nice of him.
Those like bumpers or ins and outs or whatever. But Logan Mankins back. We don't know if he'll start. My guess is even if he plays, I got to think he's going to rotate a little, right? That you may see some Donald. You know, they've done that a lot with Conley. They've done it with Vollmer when he came back early in the year. I got to think there's a chance. Although, did he rotate in Cleveland a couple years ago when he came off the holding out? Or did he play wire to wire?
I believe he rotated a little bit in that game. And
they do it often with offensive linemen missing.
Did Conley or...
they just kind of say, hey, the third series take off
yeah,
of each half or something like
you know,
like
every
that.
Third series mm-hmm. is off or something.
Mm-hmm. I want to say in that game, Neal got hurt. And he ended up having to go basically wire to wire. And
maybe.
Then Conley moved from left to right guard but where he played the rest of the
I
season.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mankins does a little rotating with Thomas. But again, McDonald, Zusevic, Gronkowski, Beckett, Brace, Martin, and James Devlin.
So that means
so
Mankins,
that gave us absolutely nothing to talk about.
Mankins, Chandler Jones are active, and as Jeff Howe on Twitter points out, Brandon Spikes is also active. Cap locks for everyone, he tweets out.
No one was worried until you said he might be inactive.
So as
yeah,
we said,
the part of that tweet that I would sort of I don't necessarily think that he's not dealing with anything because he wasn't out there stretching.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he had something that was added to the injury list this week. So to suggest that it went away in a day is a little bit.
Somebody
you know.
Just tweeted Jeff Howe. Then why did you report he had his leg amputated 20 minutes ago? Hashtag kidding.
So again, that also means Brandon Bolden is active, which we expected. But that's another one who's in the mix for the Patriots tonight.
Sure. Getting back just to the Welker thing, I am really close to calling him a Hall of Famer. First of all, I have to be consistent
too.
Because I remember, I believe in 2008, I said when he was knocking on the door of a 100-catch season, you know, he's still going to have like three or four more. Well,
now
he's going to have three or four more of those. And I just think you marvel at it. And Paul's right. Brandon Marshall puts up great numbers. And I don't consider him a Hall of Famer either. And maybe that's just because of the team he plays for, which is not a championship caliber team. And this guy's with Brady and going to Super Bowls. And every year they're among the best. Maybe that's part of it. But, you know, the other part is everybody tries to tell me, and maybe this is a little defensive, you know, we'll just get Julian Edelman. You know, we'll just get Danny Amendola. These guys are all the same. They're not. You know, give Welker some credit. He may not be an elite physical talent like Calvin Johnson,
right.
As you say. They're not in the same class. Whatever the classes are, they're not.
Yeah, but that,
he is phenomenal at what this team asks him to do, which is run 7 yards, turn left, turn right, shake a guy, and get us every freaking first down
yeah.
we need.
Again,
right.
to me,
and
he
none
seems...
of those guys, other guys, can stay on the field.
Right, that's what I mean.
To me, he seems very good, not elite.
But what
and
other guys
I mean,
are we
that's
about?
Sort of where I would come.
Like Amendola, Edelman, that everybody wants to replace him with.
They can't stay on the field, so
they're not even close.
I'm talking about guys that are great.
Right.
No, see, I think Welker's great.
No, but I mean, other guys that stay on the field that are
I also don't think a lot of the guys that stay on the field would if they did what Welker did, like Marvin Harrison or Reggie Wayne. I think both those guys would have broken if they ran over the middle more, but they were never asked to do that with any regularity. I think what he does is a more difficult job physically than what some of those guys do, because I think it's easier to just say, I'm going to be outside the numbers. You know, Brandon Lloyd. Brandon Lloyd's the perfect example. He'll never take a hit.
Harrison
because he's going to run it out with his toe dragging, and he's going to run an in-cut and fall down on the ground to make sure, God forbid, no one hits me, and I'm going to go deep every once in a while.
See, it's funny. I don't look at Marvin Harrison as a Hall of Famer either, and I'm sure that people in the that vote for it would laugh at me for saying
yeah, I have no idea. I don't know what they
consider. I think Marvin Harrison was more of a down-the-middle guy, but he
is Andre Reed in the Hall of Famer?
He dove a lot.
Not yet.
Okay. Because I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
No, I don't think
but
any of those
like
guys
But he seems like he's always
are.
In the discussion.
But those guys are going to get in.
Because I don't think Andre Reed ever had the kind of production that Welker
because
did.
Because of the sheer numbers, those guys are going to get in.
Like Andre Reed, I mean, I always read these stats. I'm always amazed when you go back. Like Stevie Johnson has, a couple thousand yards, becoming the first Bill. Wait a minute, didn't Andre Reed play here? Like, there's all these things that he's doing first.
That's
and
kind of my whole
wait,
reason.
What?
Is Andre Reed is considered a borderline Hall of Famer, and a lot of people think he will get in. It's a matter of time. And Stevie Johnson is putting his numbers to shame. Now, is Stevie Johnson going to be a Hall of Famer?
No.
Because I'm sorry, he's a Jag.
And Stevie Johnson doesn't have a quarterback. Andre Reed had a quarterback.
And that's the way I look at it, is I just
but
think
this
that
is why
the numbers are
great, because that room is great. You never know what's going to happen.
I think that the numbers are so out of whack right now.
Ron Borges goes in there saying, Wes Welker's a Hall of Famer. Damn it, anybody want to argue? Let's bring
and
it.
I think,
he
think he's,
hitting people,
I think
and all of a sudden Welker's in the Hall.
Question, to answer Victor's question, I think he's going to get in. Because I think that the numbers are just going to be so outrageous that he's going to get in. But I'm not sure that, and
your listen, own personal measuring stick.
My
whatever,
Hall of Fame would be probably cut in half
from
what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's not right either. But I just look at it as my Hall of Fame is reserved for guys that I think absolutely dominated their era. And I don't think he does.
Since you
I'm just
him,
watching J.J. Watt make one-handed catches and throw the ball back. Got to be pound for pound one of the better athletes on the planet, I'm guessing.
But the way he's catching it, too, it's like...
That's five in a row I've seen. That's five in a row.
Do you think these are like practice
sandwich?
How far away do you think he's the guy's throwing?
I don't know.
Because I wonder if he's like, this is like an effort.
Oh,
that was a bad throw.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is like an effort to, like, on one of those knockdowns, like, I got to catch one. I'm not just here to bat them down now.
And I'm also getting sick of the stupid paddles that have like been this. Like I go to Yahoo or something, and like, oh, paddle. Wait till you see what the Patriots. They've been using it for years. Like, get over yourself. Don't try to make something as a story just because you first heard of it. This has been going on forever. They've been using these damn
wrapped
up tennis
about
rackets.
With some of the stories that you hear from the old timers.
Like Susie
Colbert. That's a great story.
She's hot and all, but
Yahoo Sports check.
ESPN.
I was gonna get to that. That was
holding it up on.
That was my
E
story. That was my E story we were gonna get to there. Quickly, since you referenced him though, on Brandon Lloyd, why have we seen the regression in targets for the past whatever it is, 3 to 6 weeks?
I think he's fallen out of favor with the quarterback. I think they've tried to go to him so much early this year to establish something, and somewhere along the way, I don't want to target specific games or whatever, but I just feel like they decided, we can't keep working. Now we just got to do what has been the best interest of the football team. And he has his 50 catches, but he just hasn't made plays for Brady. And, Tom Curran's been big beating the drum that Lloyd just hates contact. It will do anything to avoid contact. And that's kind of what I'm talking about with Welker. He's never going to avoid contact. He's the opposite end of that. And I think Brady respects that. Excuse me, swallowed my tongue. And, he's going to keep going to guys like that he can trust. And I don't think he has that all-in type of feel with Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah, there was a line of demarcation was that
demarcation,
first game against the Jets.
Crescendoed.
It was crescendoing before that line of demarcation. I do happen to agree with Paul.
Go ahead, Paul. Sorry. Proceed.
The game that I think that it really changed was the first game against the Jets. In that game, they tried to get it to him a wicked lot of times, and he didn't really make any of the catches. So I think since then, Tom Brady said, I'm not throwing it to him because he don't catch it.
That makes perfect sense. Perfect sense.
Warren
Paul
Sapp,
went back to his Everett.
I was just
going to
say, that was
that's how he used to talk with the boys.
Warren Sapp evidently in agreement with the pregame social. One-handed, that's sick. Hashtag Watt.
That was pretty much what we were saying. Going back to the phone lines, 508-298-0398.
John McClain just totally disregarded any possible thought of saying J.J. Watt should be an MVP candidate. Guess
well,
really
no, because
be.
Manning's the MVP.
Well, yeah, what is that all about?
And this game will be a blowout and high scoring. He's very definitive.
I will, and
Patriots win.
Just so you know, if that's true, then I agree with him because, this is a
Patriots
chance.
Win a blowout?
No.
If
the Patriots blow out the Texans, then I don't think that J.J. Watt deserves all the hype. This is a game where you need to change the game. If you're an MVP, you sack Brady twice, you bat down a pass, you force a Ridley fumble in the, you're an impact player. So if he doesn't do that, then right, give it to Manning.
Back to the
phones.
Actually,
I want Peterson.
Let's go to Joel in Atlanta. What are you looking for tonight, Joel?
Hey, Adam. What's up, Paul and Andy?
I just get an and Andy?
Yeah, that's what I would give them to.
Screw you, Atlanta.
Oh, really? Come on, Adam.
No, that was Andy.
That was Andy!
My fault? I mean, hey.
That's why they hate you.
It's my iPhone, man. It's my iPhone.
I hear you. You got the 4, you got to get the 5.
It's a compliment that he thought you were me, by the way.
Not really.
That's nice of you, Joel. I took it differently.
Adam,
always take it.
Come on, man. I love all you guys. I do.
So
and
do you?
Atlanta loves you guys, too.
Well, thank you. We appreciate Atlanta. We love Atlanta, too. You confident tonight? What are we feeling here?
You know what? The last caller, he said that he really didn't care about tonight's game, and I think that that caller should be shot because the next two games, the Texans and the 49ers, are games that are teams that we might actually see in the playoffs.
Yep.
So these games are crucial just to see how our defense will play against a good team that has a good record. Also, our offense. I know Brady. I love Brady. I do. But sometimes he gets flustered.
Yep.
And just to see how he's going to play against a great defense. I just want to comment on what you guys are saying about Wes Welker and being in the Hall of Fame. I don't think Wes will go to the Hall of Fame just because normally players like Jerry Rice, they were their whole career. You can't just be non-existent for your first 5 years in the league, and then the next 4 years, you're doing great things. But I don't think Wes is going to go to the Hall of Fame for that particular reason. Don't get me wrong. He's a great player for us now. I'm not sure if that would translate if he was on another team or a different scheme. But the scheme that the Patriots have and the way that our offense flows works for a player like a Wes Welker or Julius Edelman.
All right. Well, so in other words, you know, the shelf life of dominance, maybe it hasn't been as extended as what some other guys have done. Maybe there won't be enough longevity there
point.
With Welker.
Well, and I think on one part, I think that's a solid argument. He was nothing till he got to Brady and Belichick and the Patriots. But, I mean, wasn't Chris Carter in Philadelphia for 2 years?
Yeah, 3 years before he got caught? He caught a million touchdowns.
Oh, and they cut him?
He got cut because of an alcohol issue.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then, what's his face?
He had a lot of touchdowns?
Buddy Ryan made the
I think a million was an exaggeration, but I'll look it
Buddy
up.
Buddy Ryan made the unfortunate comment of
all he does is catch touchdowns.
All he does is
I remember
catch
that.
Touchdowns, and that's
but I didn't know it was a huge number.
Well, he
was
got
drunk?
He got let go because he had an alcohol incident. That's sort of why they moved on from him.
Boy. The old days, they were strict.
Now, his
Hall of Famers getting let go because they have an alcohol incident.
His day.
These days, you get like 35 shots.
Without Minnesota, obviously, he's not known as Chris Carter. I mean, he became Chris Carter.
Would have been Christopher.
19 touchdowns in 3 years, including 11 his last year before they cut him.
Now, does Welker have 19 touchdowns?
That's a ballsy move. Yeah. That's a ballsy move, cutting a guy with 11
there
touchdowns.
There you go. A little interesting.
Those Ryan guys are an emotional
bunch.
He
had 11 touchdowns his last year in Philadelphia.
Then they cut
that's
him.
When he
went
said,
to Minnesota.
You know, and obviously the point was, you guys only think he's great because he catches a lot of touchdowns. He doesn't really do a whole lot else, but it's kind of hard to make that comment and not have it come back in your face.
Matthew writes in, webradio@patriots.com. Guys, my keys to the game, run the ball effectively. Brandon Bolden's back. I say use him. Let's get Andy and Paul's key to the game.
You've waited all week for it.
No, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
Apparently, swallowing your tongue is contagious in here. Andy, let's start with your key.
Paul already ate his, so it's not there to swallow. I am going to go with what I said earlier. I think that Adam liked that one. I think it's third down. It's all about third down. You know, there's best third down offense in football in the Patriots. Little bit undermanned, a couple weapons out, kind of interior centric. Getting back to Tom Brady last year saying all we can do is in the numbers. You know, we didn't. Well, that's where you're back to with Welker and Hernandez. And, you know, defensively, the Texans are the best in football at third down. If they can get the Patriots off the field a couple times, I think that's huge. If they can't, obviously you're in for a long day. And the other side of the ball, same thing. If the Texans are, as I said earlier, you know, third and two because Arian Foster, I think you're in trouble if you're the Patriots.
Now, I went to Andy first so we could build to a crescendo and get Paul's keys to the game second.
I think he's going to build to kicking our asses.
No, I think we talked about it earlier when we went to the poll center about what the key to the game was, the different elements. And to me, it's all about controlling that defensive front for Houston.
You know what?
The offensive line needs to show up tonight, and then they need to play better than it did last week in Miami. I think they will play better, but will it be enough? I think
that's
that
a funny thing you bring, Vollmer. Like last week, he was like a game time decision who got his ass kicked, and now we're like, oh, yeah, nothing to talk about in the injury report.
Yeah, I think Homer that those guys, you know, if Brady has time, I do believe that they will move the ball through the air. I don't think they're going to have a huge running night unless they might maybe hit him with a couple of surprise runs and they're able to crease him a little bit and get some big gains. Otherwise, traditional runs, I don't think they're going to be overly successful tonight. So it's going to be the passing game. And in order to get that going, I think we'll see the ball come out quick a lot from Brady. That's how I think that they can maybe control a guy like Watt. But if they can't, then Andy's stuff about third down, I think Houston does get off the field. Because that's what they rely on. And John McClain had those stats about J.J. Watt and all the plays that he's involved in terms of negative runs, passes defensed, pass defenses that lead to interceptions.
Yeah, but he wasn't impressed. He wasn't going to vote for him for MVP.
In addition to all the quarterback sacks. So that to me is the game right there. Because the Patriots need to score points more often than not, in my opinion, to have success. And if they're down around 20, 17, 20, that's not going to be enough.
You know what I thought of? You know, I think of a lot of stupid stuff. Mm. Like if Brady's getting
it comes
beat
out
up.
Over the course of a 2-hour pregame show. Yeah.
Brady's getting beat up, and obviously he had his daughter this week, Vivian. But all I could keep thinking was like Stallone and Rocky. Instead of saying Adrian, he's like getting hit by water. Vivian!
See, I was definitely feeling a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air joke there with Aunt Viv. That's what I thought you were going.
That's not where I was going. I just keep seeing that, like him with like
a
bloody.
I was really bracing myself, and I was ready to.
Vivian!
That's where I was going. Let's go to the phones. 508-298.
Sorry, Paul. I could just talk about the tennis rackets and pretend it's something new that they're doing this week.
I haven't said anything about the
tennis though they've done it for damn near a decade here.
Go to our buddy Chester in Portland. What are you looking for tonight, Chester?
Andy Hart, Paul, and Pac-Man, how you doing?
What's up?
Nice to be in, guys.
Chester.
Just got off work. I'm a little rusty on the injury report, but from what I hear, we got Mankins back this week, yeah?
Everybody's correct. Back. There's nobody of any relevance who's out except Gronkowski.
Fantastic.
Sorry, guys.
Thanks for catching me up a little bit on that.
Look, sorry, Ron Brace.
Key to the game, I really think it's going to be run action. I think, you know, I'm with Paul on this one where the pass is going to have to set up the run. You know, I'm thinking, I don't know, I'd like to see Hernandez in the backfield a little bit tonight. I know Bolden's back. I know we've got, you know, some depth back in the running back core, but I really think that'd be a nice way to throw Watt off a little bit, just to get him to a little bit of a confusion as to what's coming. We haven't seen that for the better part of the year, and then frankly, I think it'd be a nice aspect. I definitely think Hernandez is going to have a huge game. If I'm wrong, I definitely stand corrected, but I definitely see that middle of the field being our opportunity there. You know, as far as defense goes, defensive line all the way. I want to see us get up early. I feel like I say that every single week. But anybody who's considering a blowout in this game, I think it's completely out of their mind. This team deserves respect at this point, meaning the Houston team here. But, you know, I'd really like what they've got in the outdoor stadium in December. I'm pumped. I'm driving home right now. I can't wait. Either way, I just really like to see us jockeying for that first position in the AFC. And let's get them tonight, boys. Take it easy.
See you, Chester.
Thanks, Chester. Love him. In and out.
Calling us up from Portland. Portlandy weather here in Foxborough tonight with the rain and the mist.
I've never been to Portland.
Yeah, it's like Seattle. The same diff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's right.
Same difference.
So yeah.
Is it the same? Or
the run action. That's the key to the game, according to
the run
Paul,
action.
Paul and our buddy Chester dialing us
well,
up.
I don't think the run action. Just so you know, I don't think the running game is going to be a big part of the Patriots' offense.
What about a 4-minute drive like last week? None. Boom. Run game.
What about that Texans offensive line?
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
A little good Texans offensive line talk. We could get into.
Are they the best offensive line this team has seen?
Here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame.
About Vivian.
And as we like to do during each and every pregame social, let's check in with a member of our Patriots fan club.
You got.
Got a good tailgate?
Oh man, they're playing one hell of a party.
Think you're the loudest group at Gillette?
Woo-wee!
It's time we find out as we hear from our fan club of the week.
Our fan club of the week this week, the Houston Patriots fan club. And joining us from there, Amanda, here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Amanda, how's the atmosphere there?
You know what? It's pretty contentious over here, actually. We're in one of the largest bars in Houston. Where it's packed pretty regularly with a lot of Texans fans, but that's where we chose to stake our claim a long time ago and be like, that's where we're going to cheer for our team. So we got a lot of Patriots fans here. They've all come out of the woodwork, and everybody's ready for a nice little beatdown over here in Houston.
Where exactly are you? What's the name of the establishment?
It's called Lucky's Pub. It's actually right in the heart of downtown Houston near Minute Maid Park, where the Red Sox are going to be playing soon. when they come to visit, and the new soccer stadium. So we're right centrally located in the middle of enemy territory.
And how many Patriots fans you got there with you tonight?
Well, we have already over 100 people have showed up. We're expecting a lot more to come around if they can find some parking. But we got an equal amount of Texans fans on the other side, so it's going to be a nice screaming match between the two rooms they've got here.
Nice. It sounds like it could be a enjoyable evening there, especially if this game plays out like I think we all expect it to, and to sort of be a back-and-forth heavyweight battle where both teams are probably going to land some punches.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of smack talk between the two camps here. But the general atmosphere that I'm getting is that most people are just excited that both teams are in the playoffs, and this is not a game that's going to kill anybody's season. And most people are just really excited to find out how good their team actually is by playing the best. So it's a fairly amicable relationship here that we've got, but we don't expect it to be that way should we meet again in the postseason.
Now, do you feel any hint of uncertainty with the Texans fans that maybe they're not really quite sure if they can hang with the Patriots and Brady and Belichick? Do you get any vibe of lack of confidence from them?
Well, first you have to kind of find a true Texans fan. What you're getting here right now is a lot of people who just kind of signed on, you know, winning, made the team.
Bandwagon so, jumpers.
Bandwagon, you know, that happens. So mostly you have a lot of people just screaming, 11-1, 11-1, like that means something.
Right. They don't give trophies for 11-1, people.
So first you have to find the real Texas fan. And mostly they get the kind of shake of the head where they're not really sure, but, you know, they believe. And that's at the end of the day what we just do. We just believe because we don't know for sure.
I enjoy that little dig at Texans fans. I truly do. And we're going to ask you, send some photos in. I want to see some photos from your gathering tonight at, what'd you say it was? Lucky's Pub?
Lucky's Pub, downtown Houston.
Yeah, you can email some photos to webradio@patriots.com, or you can send them over Twitter with the hashtag PPGS, and we'd love to see it. And as always, you sound beautiful over the phone, so send a photo of yourself.
All right, you got it, man. We're going to be cheering loud over here. You'll be able to hear us.
All right, enjoy. No fights.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks, Amanda. That's from our Houston Patriots fan club. I like that dig as well.
That was a nice little, you know, first of all, you get to find a real Texans fan. It's mostly like, oh, they've won a little last couple of years. That was well done.
Good fan club.
And true. We go back to 2001. Let's be honest. We got like 11 years here.
What would you say? Maybe the mid-90s.
The Armand Binns thing, evidently he was awarded to Miami. Yeah. You guys already talked about that?
Yeah. Well, no.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Off the
no,
air.
But yeah. No, I know we said the Patriots put it, but I didn't realize that he had gotten claimed by someone else.
Yes, he was claimed by the Dolphins, is it? Cut by the Bengals, claimed by the Dolphins. Patriots put in a waiver claim on Armand Binns. Why? Just a depth thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think the lack of weapons.
They have some depth issues at wide receiver. I mean, their starters are out there, but they could use another guy.
And maybe their starters, they don't want to be a starter. I mean, we don't know where this Lloyd situation ends. I mean, if he's not a valuable asset in Miami in, you know, week 15 or whatever, 14, 13, whatever, then who's to say he's a valuable asset in mid-January in a game that matters?
Too, he played, I believe, more snaps than Edelman the last couple of weeks, but those are both games where Edelman left, and Edelman was getting snaps over Lloyd in two receiver sets, and it was him and Welker out on the field. So it's certainly trending away from Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah,
that's a good thing
the most important thing is Tom Brady is trending away from Brandon Lloyd. So
that's all
that matters.
And I do think it stems from that first game against the Jets when, you know, I thought he had several opportunities to make plays on balls downfield and didn't make a single one. And I think that Tom looked at that game and said, and I do think he's guilty of a quick trigger on this from time to time. He sees a guy that he can't rely on, and he sort of gets away from it. Now, he may have to change that, depending on what happens physically the rest of the way here. If, you know, if it's just Welker, you know, if something were to happen to Hernandez or you know, if he were to lose Welker or something, he might have to get back to Brandon Lloyd. But right now, it doesn't look like he wants to go there.
Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Adam Jones here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey cheddar bacon and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. We'll continue with your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com, and we head up to the press box next here on patriots.com.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo with you here. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium on Patriots.com. Little less than an hour away from kickoff between the Patriots and the Houston Texans. We mentioned earlier, Patriots have pretty much everyone active for tonight outside of Rob Gronkowski, who'd already been ruled out. That means Logan Mankins. It means Chandler Jones, also Brandon Bolden, back in the mix tonight for the Patriots, among others who were questionable throughout the course of the week. Let's get to some of these phone calls. 508-298-0398. Isaac in Fort Lauderdale has been waiting patiently. What are you looking for tonight, Isaac?
Yeah, I've been waiting real patiently, but yeah, I disagree. I heard you guys saying something about 24 points and get it done. I think our defense is being overlooked this game. I believe our defense will stuff up real big, because the fact is, we don't give up points. We give up yards, but not points. So I'm looking for a big game from our defense tonight.
What do you think the Houston will end up with for points?
I'm going to say 20 points. So I think 24, 27 points to get it done for the Patriots.
Okay.
Which I think we'll score more, but I think we can go 24 points.
Yeah, I think you'll score more, and I think you'll allow more.
Hmm?
I think the Patriots will score more than that, and I think they'll allow more than that.
Well, like, I think the defense is going to step up. I don't think our linebacker is enough credit. Like, I would say that our linebacker is still any linebacker court in the NFL right now. Spice, Mayo, Nikovic, Jones back in, you know.
But those are defensive
lines. I study the chesses. They like to do the zone runs. I think we can. I think our two ends will balance out the will set the edge.
Well,
I think it's going to be a good game.
I think it's huge to get Jones back. I said that earlier. You now have at least two starting caliber defensive ends. I think the linebackers have been hit or miss. I think Dante Hightower has been a little bit of a disappointment. Certainly in coverage, I think they've struggled at times. Owen Daniels could certainly be an issue in this game. Those boots and waggles and all that play action crap they do to him. He's their second leading receiver. And if you're doubling and focusing a lot of attention on Andre Johnson, which obviously you have to do for a guy who had 461 yards in a two-game span, he's capable of killing you. That opens things up for Daniels, and we'll see if the safeties and linebackers are ready for that challenge. I would say, I just want to caution you a little bit on the points thing. I don't know if you're aware, but, you know, that adjusted points or whatever they call it, when you take away the returns and just say actually how many points a defense gives up. Patriots fall when you consider that. They go from like 14th or 13th down to like 23rd in that adjusted points because the other teams don't have a ton of returns and different things. A lot of the points they score are just flat-out points on the defense. So, you know, you're a bottom third of the league in that.
How do you feel about where this defense is trending these last, I don't know, 3 weeks to a month?
If they continue to play
rookie
think quarterbacks and Jags.
I think it's been a little bit better, I do.
So let me rephrase then. If Houston or the Patriots do a good job against this Houston Texans defense to you, is this an offense where you're gonna separate it out from the last three they've played?
Yes, I think this is a better offense than they've played, and I also think, there's some separation to how they played even in those games. You know, if the other team comes in here and just turns the ball over endlessly, the way the Colts did, the way the Jets did, the way Buffalo did early in the season the first time around, yeah, some of those are forced, and those are good plays by the defense, and some of them are giveaways too. I thought what they did last week in Miami, not forcing a ton of turnovers, just getting a ton of stops. That's what that to me would be a little bit different. But yes, regardless of how you stop the Texans, I don't think this is a great offense that Houston has, but I think it's a pretty good one. And I also think that they're able to run and pass. Not a lot of teams they've played this year have had that kind of balance. If you're down around, 16 points this week, I don't care how you get there. I think that would be a significant game.
Just another thing that just kind of popped into my head talking about Mankins, and we had talked about earlier, maybe this is a tempo game. You want to go no huddle, push the tempo. That could be an issue with him coming back from the injury, having missed basically a month and a half
Conley,
of football.
Conley, Vollmer.
So that'll be something to watch in terms of, A, can you do it? And if you do it, maybe that's where you're kind of picking and choosing where Thomas has to play or kind of moving things around in there. So that might be a consideration. And if they don't do it, we might find out later that was kind of part of the reason.
Yeah, and I also think, some of these things with the defense that we talk about, and Andy talked about the adjusted defense there with the points, and sometimes some of the teams that they've played, in my opinion, worse defense than have allowed more points than they have. And that's because of the offensive points they allow and some of those things. The Patriots never turn the ball over, so they don't have any of those allowed. They don't throw pick sixes.
They probably should have last week.
No, but I'm saying as a rule, even if they had one
week,
as a rule,
in general, they don't.
This team doesn't turn the ball over at all. I think they have the fewest giveaways in football, if I'm not mistaken. Certainly up there if they're not. But there's another stat that they sort of talk about. They've allowed the fewest points per yards. Well, I think that's one of those very misleading stats. When you allow the amount of yards the Patriots' defense is allowed, you can't possibly allow that many points.
I had never heard that stat. It's
terrible. God, that's been huge the last couple
of
weeks.
Who's been using
that? I've not heard that either, to tell you the truth.
Who's been using that? I want names.
Checklist. We need a checklist.
Check.
Who?
It may or may not have appeared on Patriots.com in a column that we write. Not me and you, right?
I was going to say, if I wrote something and don't recollect, I'd have to see somebody.
Well, there's two of you here.
It's a cold hard.
We would definitely.
Cold hard football fact.
Nice.
But I've seen it a lot.
That's
about
laughable.
About yards. You know. In other words, they bend but don't break. That's the bend but don't break factor. Well, to me, when you're giving up that many yards, I don't think it's possible. I don't think the Patriots score as many points as they get yards.
Cold hard football facts, patriots.com. Check.
Wait, that's us. wait.
So I just think that it's a very misleading.
Ripping ourselves now?
Checking the emails to web radio.
Burn.
At patriots.com. That's where Willem writes in from Holland.
Defoe?
Guys, first of all, can you explain the Brandon Bolden situation to me? I heard the Pats had a roster exemption for him, so he doesn't count towards the 53-man roster. Can he play tonight or not? Rule that one out since he's here. Second, what do you think of Daniel Sells?
Yes, he can play tonight.
And he counts towards the 53-man roster.
You probably should have explained that, Mr.
Good
Bristol.
Lord, he just gets so dismissive.
They activated him to the 53-man roster. He is on the 53-man roster.
He will play.
All I'm saying is, 5 minutes ago, we just said he was going to play. We just
said
that.
Well, you could explain it. The man is from Holland. He's high as a kite. It's hard for him to understand these things.
I didn't even think of that.
And he's got a tulip up his ass. Right. A tulip bulb.
He's active. He's on the 53-man roster and active tonight.
Part in a sex show, as we speak.
Daniel Fells. He's been a decent
blocker. What great
blocker.
Coaching right there by Bill. Do you happen to see that?
From what I've seen. Bob, that is. And heard, but haven't really seen him catching passes. Thoughts on Daniel Fells?
I think Fells is one of those tight ends that's he's sort of dependable. Not flashy. Right. You throw the ball to him two or three times, he'll catch it. You ask him to block, he'll do a reasonably good job at it. I think he's versatile in that. I think he can do a little of both. But, you know, when you're without Gronkowski, you can't expect Daniel Fells to sort of replicate what you get out of Gronkowski.
But Daniel Fells is like...
I think he's a solid player.
If he was your starting tight end, he'd have, you know, 40 catches, and you'd say, yeah, he's okay. He's not great. He's not a star. But when you compare him to Gronk and Hernandez...
Better version of Algie Crumpler.
22-1 at home under Belichick in December.
I would say he's a lesser version
so
of Daniel Graham, probably. Mm. You know, I think he's maybe like a poor man's Daniel Graham.
It's 22-1, by the way, and it's...
I'll give you a trivia question.
It's 19 Pac-Man. Straight.
Yeah. Who's the one?
Who is the one here?
22-1 under Belichick at home in December.
My wife.
Let me answer that after this phone call. Christian in Boston at 508-298-0398. What are you looking for tonight, Christian?
A Patriots victory, 34-28. It's going to be a shootout.
34-28?
Yep,
is that what you said? I could see that. Yeah, I could see that.
It's going to be a shootout. We're going to have to score more just like we always do. Obviously, you need to do that to win the game. But,
that's what Paul said.
More than 20, but that's okay.
Are you afraid of J.J. Watt?
No. You want to know why? Because history tells me these guys don't have big games against us. You can go right down the list. Sean Merriman, 2007 AFC Championship game, invisible. You know, any other big game where they've played a guy.
Jason
where
Taylor.
You come in and you said, oh, my God.
Cameron Wake.
Jason Taylor.
Robert Mathis for 10 years.
Jason Taylor. Jason Wake Taylor, where Paul Perillo said, oh, he's overrated. He'll be fine. And then he dominated the game.
That was the famous 06 game. Incorrect.
Well, they're going to have the games here and there, but I think going into
So you're basically telling me you're having a little bit of an eyeball test tonight with J.J. Watt, and I'm all for that. I am a big believer in the eyeball test and these guys that either perform on the big stage or kind of don't meet the spotlight head on. But I get the feeling J.J. Watt might meet the spotlight head on.
Well, if you can do it against the Detroits and the Jacksons, we'll see if you can do it against the real team.
Oh, you're talking smack, bitches.
Well, Christian, we appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398. You have a guess here? I just gave Paul my guess for the loss in December, Andy. I guess Miami, which apparently
Andy
is incorrect.
Andy knows the answer.
Oh, you do know the answer. Yeah. So what is it there?
Jets. 0-2.
Jets 0-2 Chad is
Pennington.
Their only December loss.
Yeah.
Chad Kevin Pennington. In the other room guessed the Rams from, I'm assuming, 2001. That game, that wasn't...
That was November.
That was November, okay.
17th, 2001.
Huh. Close enough.
I just almost swore. I almost just said effing loser.
24-17.
Live on the air about him.
Checking the emails, web radio.
Might have been the 18th.
As we get ready to,
you're still a loser. 17th, 18th equals you loser.
Check in with Eric Scalavino. Maybe we can put him on the hot seat and ask him the question. That should be fun.
No, he doesn't respond well to hot seats, so please don't.
Ben,
it'll make for an awkward interview.
It was the 18th.
I agree. I agree with Paul. I think this is going to be a great close game. Two of the league's best teams taking each other seriously. I heard Andre Johnson say that this was the biggest game in Texans history.
Yes,
I still think the Patriots will pull out a win, though. They're getting better and healthy. And the Texans are in a rough part of their season. And something we haven't mentioned, at least on the air, three straight road games for the Texans as well. So when you talk about a tough spot...
You might want to listen to Andy and I when
we
talk
F?
To you.
What?
We've said that a number of times.
No, well, whatever.
Bad spot for Houston.
And
bad
while this is a big game, I mean,
Did you say the three straight road games?
Yes.
Many times.
Yeah, well, then I should listen.
They went to the second round of the playoffs last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Like,
correct.
That was a pretty big game, too.
Yeah. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he meant regular season game. Anytime you play in the divisional round, I think that's bigger than
divisional
a
round. Or he was just thinking, we don't have a shot to win. We got TJ Hayes.
Who, by the way, I don't really understand why you have to swear in the middle of that. But
no, I didn't. It was like
Andy and I on our way down here passed by TJ Yates.
We did?
Yeah. He was the guy that walked toward us.
Ah, I thought that guy kind of looked like a player, but I knew who the hell he was.
I wouldn't be able to pick out TJ Yates.
Thank
either.
You.
Not
mock me.
Keenan by the uniform.
Writes in.
He had a uniform on?
We had stuff with number 13. I assume number 13 is TJ Yates.
Said Yates on the back.
he didn't have his game uniform.
Keenan
it was like the, you
writes
know, the,
in from Denver.
The NFL issue equipment.
Since Edelman got an increased amount of snaps the last couple of games after Gronk got injured, do you think Stallworth is going to get the same amount of snaps like Edelman had or less?
Less.
Less.
How about
I think he's less versatile.
Then I will amend the question. How about then what we saw when Branch was here?
Wait, what?
Like, would Stallworth see Branch-type snaps from when Branch was here?
No, I think Stallworth's going to see some limited snaps. I think you're going to see more versatility. I don't think you're gonna... Now, that's the one thing I question, is because if they want to go tempo, no huddle, you got to be in a certain package and basically stick with it. That's my question, is do they have a package they like enough to stick with? Maybe that's just an extra tight end, maybe, you know, consistency there.
You know, I didn't think of that. That's a good point. They don't have the versatility in terms of their personnel.
Right.
Maybe to do that. Because I've been sort of convincing myself all week this is a tempo game.
But with the offensive line and with the weapons, I'm not sure it is a tempo game. I'm not sure they're ready. And that was kind of my, you know, I talked about earlier, you spread them and shred them is the idea. But I don't know if they are suited right that tonight to spread them and shred them.
I don't know if they have the six perfect touchdown throws.
I agree with. I'm not sure they
missed
have
an hour of preparation this week.
I don't know if you heard this. It is Houston's third straight road game, by the way, as well.
True.
It's a difficult spot. Clint writes in
it's a bad
to Web
spot.
Radio.
It's a bad
Patriots
spot for Houston.
And J-Joe's got his, what was he, booted and suited?
Booted and suited. Clint writes in, this game sort of reminds me how I felt when the Patriots played the Saints in 2009.
Uh-oh.
We had a shaky defense that hadn't had its best game yet, going up against the best team in the league with big weapons and a good defense. Now, granted, that team won the Super Bowl, and that was in the Superdome. I hope this game turns out much differently. Tell me why this way is different and why I shouldn't worry.
Paul, you handle this one.
First of all, Paul, what day in 2009 was that game? Any recollection?
It was a Monday night, I'll say that. I don't remember what day it was. It must have been late November. Oh, no, it could have been December because it was a road game. I don't know. I don't know what day it was.
Paul and I went for a walk to a T-shirt stand because I bought a T-shirt for my mechanic. I remember that.
I remember it also.
These are the kind of things I remember.
You know what else I remember? I don't know if Andy will, but it was extremely cold in the press box at the Superdome that night.
Nope.
The differences in the game, I would say, just, you know, beyond the home,
potency of the offense.
The home and away is, to me, overwhelming. But I don't think Houston has the kind of dynamic offense that New Orleans did.
And they don't want to. They might, I mean, they possibly could. Like, I think Schaub is more than could be more than he is,
yeah.
But they play a run, play action. We have a defense. I mean, they won't do it against the Patriots, but there's times where they like shut it down. Well, you know, we got enough points to win today. We're just gonna play defense.
They clearly did that last
right.
week.
So, you know, the Saints, I mean, were a high powered passing breeze attacking offense. That's just the difference. Is that game got out of hand because of the team you were playing and the way you were playing on defense. I'm not even sure the way the Texans play, given the offense Patriots have, that it could get out of hand that quickly.
Yeah, the part about Schaub, too, that I think people look at Schaub as just this, like, game manager type who hands the ball off. This is a guy who led the league in passing a couple of years ago. He led the league in yards. So he's not just a game manager. Now, I agree with Andy. That's how they want to play now. They want to rely on their defense, they want to run the ball, and they want to use play actions to take shots. And Schaub has been pretty effective at that. But as we talked about earlier in the show, I don't know if you remember this, Adam, but when we talked about them winning in different ways, they won a couple of shootouts. And
yeah.
Schaub threw for 500-plus yards in that overtime game against Jacksonville. And he was up pretty high up there the next week on Thanksgiving in Detroit. When he had to be, he was able to be productive. So, yeah, I think there's a chance that Schaub could be more than just the guy who hands the ball off to Arian Foster.
All right, we'll continue with the feedback, webradio@patriots.com. Also, your phone calls. But right now, let's head up to the press box.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Eric Scalavino joining us from the press box upstairs here at Gillette Stadium as we get you set for Patriots and Texans. Eric, the only player of substance ruled out tonight for the Patriots, Rob Gronkowski, which we already knew. Chandler Jones, Logan Mankins out there for pregame warmups. How did those two look?
Well, they haven't been out here yet. It's still very early, and just the punt return special teams guys are out here right now. Haven't seen any sign of Mankins or Jones as of yet. Well, but the interesting news right here so far is who's returning punts now that Julian Edelman isn't here. No surprise, obviously, that Wes Welker's getting assigned that role. But other guys getting some reps right now are Patrick Chung and Aaron Hernandez, which is, I'm sure given their injury histories, some Patriots fans are probably gasping for breath right now.
But, you know, that's consistent with what we saw basically in the preseason. Those
Absolutely,
were guys
yeah.
that were with the, you know, that group back mm-hmm. there. And you're right, though. You certainly, I mean, I guess Chung in his new role, you could, quote unquote, afford to lose more. You certainly mm-hmm. can't afford to lose either Welker or Hernandez the way the offense is right now.
No.
But we'll keep an eye on that as the game unfolds, because I'm intrigued by that, particularly in light of the weather and Fabio Fabrizi. What's the latest from where you sit?
Well, the rain has let up for now, but I'm just been looking at forecasts for the rest of the night, and I would anticipate that we're going to get a lot more of what we saw earlier today, which was, you know, at times deluge conditions and other times just sort of a light, steady rain. But the weather's going to be a factor tonight one way or the other, especially, you know, as we were coming to our from our cars into the office today. At times, you know, it was we were getting drenched just
yes.
walking a short distance, and I think that we could see some of that later on tonight, and that, you know, might, I think, play into the Patriots' strengths for their game plan for this contest. You know, we were talking during the week a little bit about, you know, if we were running the offense, what would we do to try to attack this Texans defense? And I was suggesting maybe you just run the ball away from J.J. Watt, just to try to get, you know, pressure off of Brady, A, and to make Watt a non-factor. And if the weather continues to be like it is, throwing is going to be pretty difficult. I would imagine that the running games are going to be important for both teams.
Now, have you seen any hint of wind up there? Because that would obviously be a concern, especially if it's compounded by the rain.
I have not seen any indication of that. And one other indication was, you remember, you know, Shane Graham, who replaced Stephen Gostkowski here a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
didn't have the strongest of legs when it came to kickoffs, but he was warming up pregame from about 52 yards, kicking towards the open end where the bridge is. And a lot of times that's where some of the you know, the strong headwind comes from. And he had his distance. He was hitting the net from that distance, not always accurately, but he was hitting the net. So it didn't seem like wind was bothering him too much. And knowing what his leg strength is, I don't think that's a factor right now.
All right. Any other aspects that you've picked up upon? I know, as you said, it's early in the warm-up process here. Mm-hmm. Anything you've seen that you need to pass along or has caught your eye?
J.J. Watt was out here very, very early, one of the first Texans out here, without any sort of equipment on, but just getting, I don't know whether it was psychological preparation or whatever, but just getting used to the field or whatever. He's, one of the biggest impact players in the league right now, and it's interesting because, you know, a lot of the Patriots impact guys don't either come out at all or they come out very late for warm-ups, and this guy was out very early, and I don't know if that has anything to do with the fact that it's Monday night or whether that's his pregame ritual or not, but just some kind of something interesting that caught my eye, and just thought I'd point that out.
He's pumped and jacked in more ways than one, I think.
He's pumped, all right, because he learned nutrition at the NFL level.
Yeah, or maybe it was just his Letterman jacket that got him all excited. Maybe
yeah, and those were cool. You
love
lame-ass lame-o. Those were cool.
Awesome.
I never said I didn't like it. I just said I didn't know what to make of it.
You were hesitant. They're cool.
Yeah, I was hesitant.
They're unique. They're different. They're fun.
They certainly are.
They're bringing a
like
collegial feel to the NFL. How do you say that word?
I just wonder what it's
collegial.
Going to do for them.
That.
What the idea was behind it? Whether or not there was, you know, kind of like when the Giants went to Super Bowl 42
yeah.
wearing black because they were going to a funeral. They
it's
said.
UNITY, unity, baby.
Yeah, it's like the Bruins did it in their Stanley Cup run. They had that jacket that went to the player of the game.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. Now you can't just do it every single day.
You know, and if you get blown off the field tonight, you might want to have them shredded.
You shelve them. Absolutely.
Put them in the closet like
right,
Paul's
like Paul's. And then
if
clean years
the
later,
game,
they still
they go
fit.
On the shelf. It's like Notre Dame. They don't always win and they're all green when Notre Dame does that.
Right.
They don't win every time.
Right. But they're cool. They're unique. They're fun. Everything okay. Eric's not. See, Eric.
All right, Eric, thanks for giving us a call from the press box.
He's going to be mad at me when I get up there.
Patriots.com.
No, Andy not being able to say the word collegial, I'm going to apologize to you two. I'm going to stop using words like crescendo from now on, because now I see why.
I know how to say it. Collegial.
You know, I've let this go long enough. Why do you have chest hair hanging out?
Because he thinks he's Felger.
I got the little chest hair.
There's a button right there and a hole on the other side.
Yeah,
they connect.
Sometimes I like to go two. Sometimes I go one. It depends if I feel big games. I go two buttons down.
And this is a big game.
He's getting loose.
That's what I do. Quickly, by the way, one thing that we touched on, or I know you really wanted to touch on, you were really stamping your foot and pounding your fist about.
I'll bet we already did. But what is it?
No. This one we haven't. It's Matt Light night tonight. So
that is true.
You have any thoughts on this one? Since I glazed over Kevin Faulk night earlier this season.
Well, it's a little different with touchdown playmaker, Super Bowl, and a guy who's a tackle. I mean, sorry, offensive lineman, but we don't really all notice really what you're doing. We notice whether Jason Taylor kills Tom Brady on that night or not. Grand sum of things. Like tonight, we'll might notice Nate Solder or Logan Mankins, but it won't be for a good reason, probably. We'll just say, Solder never got there. Watt didn't get there. You got to give Solder credit. But, he had a great career, and I think a little bit of it, overshadow Matt Light, is... Solder stepped in and done a really nice job. Like Dante Scarnecchia told us at the beginning of the year, yeah, there'll be some growing pains, but the glass is half full and it's filling up. And, if you were, regretting, I wish we still had Matt Light. Brady's been getting killed off the line. But Solder's been really good. But Matt Light, well done.
I saw that he spoke with the media already and sort of joked that this is a perfect night to honor an offensive lineman. Rain and,
snow would have been better.
A miserable night. It's befitting of an I'm sorry it's a good for an offensive lineman to be honored on a night like that.
This guy.
Befitting, collegial, crescendo, ascending, chest hair. Those are the themes of the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here, as we're taking you up to Patriots and
we gotta get up there. I'm jacked for this game, baby.
Enough of the hype. We'll get ready for kickoff here momentarily, and I'll talk to you after the game on the Sun Life Patriots post game show right here on patriots.com.
I gotta work.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Houston Texans.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks and fires to the right. It is picked up at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Feet all the way down to the 30. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.